Revelation 1:9-20. I, John, your brother and companion, in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands in this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches."
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is inspired by your Holy Spirit and true and powerful, and that it effects change in our lives, making us more like Jesus. Please, would this be our experience today as we study it now. In Jesus' name, amen. I read in last month's Evangelicals Now of two Nigerian pastors who were abducted in Kogi State in January as kidnapping cartels have plagued the central state. And for the past 3 years, they've kidnapped business leaders and that kind of thing. Now they're starting to kidnap Christian leaders. First one is Pastor David Onubedo of Deeper Life Church. He was kidnapped on the 25th of January, and they asked for a huge ransom to release him. On the 10th of January, Pastor Ayo Raphael was kidnapped whilst taking a service at the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Masked gunmen disrupted the service and took him away at gunpoint. They're also demanding a huge ransom for him. And then, on the 24th of January, gunmen invaded an Anglican service and shot and wounded the pastor of that church too. And all of this goes on in Nigeria, whilst Boko Haram, the Islamist group, have wreaked so much carnage, particularly in northern Nigeria. How do you keep going as a Christian in Nigeria or in North Africa or the Middle East? How do you keep going in China or worse, much worse, in North Korea? Perhaps you're even getting nervous about following Jesus in this country. Slowly, Bible-believing Christians are being considered religious extremists. Our youth groups and Sunday schools may be inspected by Ofsted. It's no longer comfortable to speak of Christ in our society. How do we keep going? Well, as Simon illustrated, the letter of Revelation is written to seven churches facing persecution under the Roman Emperor Domitian in the late 90s AD. Look at verse 9. I, John, this is the Apostle John, one of Jesus' disciples. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. Here is John. He knew the risen Christ. He's lived for Christ. He's now an old man, and he's suffering. He's been exiled to a prison camp on the island of Patmos. Why? Because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John knows all about suffering for Christ. How does John keep going? How does he encourage his readers to keep going? Well, four headings on the backs of your notice sheets. Keep going by listening to God's word. Keep going by looking to the glorious Christ. Keep going by trusting in the resurrection. And keep going by believing that Jesus is with us. Firstly then, keep going by listening to God's word. This is verses 10 and 11. You may have heard of the 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, very, very famous, and he once tested an auditorium in which he was going to speak that evening. So he went into the pulpit and he proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29. They had no microphones in those days. He just had a big voice. And he just tested the acoustics, thought, yep, that's fine. So he went on his way. Unknown to him, there were two workmen in the rafters of this great auditorium. And one of them heard Spurgeon say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he was converted just from hearing that. That's the power of the word of God. And Spurgeon used to say, how are we to handle the sword? The sword. How are we to handle the sword of "It is written"? First, he said, with deepest reverence, let every word that God has spoken be law and gospel to you. Never trifle with it. Never try to evade its force or to change its meaning. God speaks to you in this book as much as if he again came to the top of Sinai and lifted up his voice in thunder. He said, I like to open the Bible and to pray, Lord God, let the words leap out of the page into my soul, thyself making them vivid, quick, powerful, and fresh to my heart. It's a good prayer, isn't it? It is the word of God which sustains suffering Christians. The Apostle John is given God's word for these suffering Christians. Verse 10, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. John must write God's word, the very words of Jesus. And this will be God's message to the churches. The application for us? Well, it's simple. We should read it. We should pray over it. We should devour God's word. We should apply it to our lives. And this will keep us going. This will keep us going. If you read the Bible every day, if you set aside that time for it, morning by morning, evening by evening, if you put it into your soul and feed on it through the day, thinking back, what did I read? Chewing it over. That will keep us going. That's what mature Christians do. Secondly, how do we keep going? By looking to the glorious Christ. Verses 12 to 16. I wonder how you think of Jesus. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, look at verse 12. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash round his chest. This is a picture of the glorified Jesus. He is risen from the dead. He is now the object of worship in heaven. And he is glorious. He is like a son of man. This was Jesus' preferred term for himself. And it comes from the book of Daniel. In chapter 7, the Son of Man receives from God the Ancient of Days, universal and eternal dominion. Jesus fulfills this. Verse 14, the hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing like fire. In other words, Jesus is God. This is like the description of God in Daniel 7. Jesus is glorious because he is God. Verse 15, his feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Jesus' words have all authority. They are what keeps us going. Thirdly, we keep going as Christians by trusting in the resurrection. Verses 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Well, you would do. This is a proper response to Jesus. I think when I stand before Jesus on the day of judgment, I will fall down on my face. But I don't think I'll stay there. Verse 17b. Then he placed his right hand on me. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that tender? Jesus placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid." I wonder, has Jesus ministered this truth to Pastor David Onubedo and Pastor Ayo Raphael as they languish in their prisons? I'm sure he has. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. In other words, Jesus is God. He is the eternal one. He was before all things. He will be after all things have been destroyed. Verse 18, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. What's the worst thing that can happen? The worst thing that can happen is that we are killed. But Jesus is saying that even if we die, we go to be with him. We will live with him who is alive forever and ever. I don't know if you've watched Downton Abbey. I think I said before, I wasn't at all interested when it first came out. I thought it was lowbrow. And now we're totally hooked as a family. We're watching the box sets. We're now getting to the end of series 6. What will we do when it's finished? Well, I don't know if you've noticed Mrs. Hughes. I don't know if you've noticed how she has the keys to the house fastened to her waist. That's saying she has authority. Not just anybody holds the keys to the house. And here, Jesus has the keys of death and Hades. Hades is the place of the dead. Jesus holds the keys. He has authority over the dead. In other words, he can send us to heaven or to hell. If you're a suffering Christian, you need to know that you're going to heaven. Jesus wants to give us that confidence, but only if we're trusting in him. We keep going as Christians by listening to God's word, by looking to the glorious Christ, by trusting in the resurrection, and fourthly, by believing that Jesus is with us. Look at verse 19. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. John is to write this great letter of prophecy for the churches. Verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands all around him is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Maybe that Jesus is referring to literal angels who watch over each church. Maybe that he's referring to the pastors of these churches. The word for angel is messenger. So it could be referring to those who bring messages from God's word. And Jesus is saying that he holds them in his hands. As a pastor, I'm very glad to think that Jesus holds me in his hand. And we know that is true for all of us. John 10:27-29. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Now listen. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So as Christians, we are held in the hand of Jesus and the hand of the Father. If you are a Christian, you have eternal life. You shall never perish. No one can snatch you away. I think that's wonderful, really wonderful. And continuing in Revelation 1:19, the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And where is Jesus? Look back at verse 13. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Jesus is with his people. He is with the churches. He is with Pastor David Onobedo and Pastor Ayo Raphael. He is with the persecuted church in North Africa. He is with his people in the Middle East. He is with his people wherever they are, whatever they're going through. He is with me. And he's with you. I came across two illustrations of the presence of Christ, both from Aberdeen, funnily enough. And a man visited Aberdeen, and he was shown around all the nice parts of the Granite City. But he said to his guide, "I want to see where the real people live. I want to see where the poor live." And so he was taken to the slums. And his guide said, "See that window up there? That's where a very, very saintly old lady lived." She was visited too by a visiting preacher who said to her, "My dear sister, they tell me the Lord Jesus Christ visits this place. He visits you in your slum." "No, no, laddie," she replied. "You're wrong." Well, thinking she was a bit hard of hearing and hadn't caught his words, he repeated what he said. He said again, "The Lord Jesus visits you in this place, doesn't he?" "No, no, laddie, you're wrong. You're wrong." Well, convinced now that she must be deaf, he shouted in her ear, "Sister, doesn't the Lord Jesus Christ visit your home?" Shaking her head, she said, "You're wrong. You're wrong. He doesn't visit me. He lives here. He abides here." That's the presence of Christ in a slum where an old lady lived. And then there was Samuel Rutherford, the great preacher, who was persecuted for his faith in Aberdeen 3 centuries ago. And he wrote famous letters to his parishioners. And he ended one of them with this sentence: "Jesus Christ came into my prison cell last night, and every stone in it glowed like a ruby." That was a man who knew the presence of Christ in some of the worst suffering anyone could ever face. So, are you keeping going as a Christian? Are you tempted to give up? Keep going. Keep going. Keep going by listening to God's word. Don't see it as a chore. See it as a joy. See it as your daily food to read the Bible in the morning. It's a great way to be peaceful in going to sleep at night, to read God's word and to pray, to repent of your sins, to commit the day that's just been, to commit the night. Read God's word. Take time over it. Get hold of some notes to help you read it, like the Explore notes, for example. Make it a priority. You will grow as a Christian as you treasure the presence of Christ in his word. Keep going. Keep reading God's word. Keep going, secondly, by looking to the glorious Christ. Jesus is not naked on the cross now. He is risen and ascended and glorified and ruling. He's in absolute control of everything that we go through. We can trust him. You can trust him. Trust in his resurrection. "I'm going to die, but when I do, Jesus will be there to meet me, to welcome me into his glorious presence, not because I've been good, but because he has died for me on the cross and paid for all my sin, opening heaven for me. And keep going by believing that Jesus is with us. Remember Matthew 28:18-20? Then Jesus came and spoke to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely," remember this bit, "I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that you have promised to finish the good work which you began in us. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for Jesus in all his risen glory. But Lord, we confess that we are often tempted to give up. We give up reading your word. We give up praying. Sometimes we even give up coming to church. We give up living for Christ. We give up talking about him. And we are sorry for that, Lord. Thank you that your mercy is always fresh. Your grace to us is fresh. And that we can start again today. So help each one of us to keep going, to read your word, to pray, to love you, and to serve you. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.